It is a very great privilege for me to be here this morning, this afternoon. Very happy to be with you. Maybe I should introduce myself a little bit, as well as my wife. My name is Brother Bert. My mother gave me the name Bert when I was born into the family of Asbel, but when I became a Christian, I became your brother. So we are a part of the family of God, and I trust that that will be evident by our being here, as well as whatever may develop from it. My wife, Nancy, is my wife, but she's also my friend. She's also my my buddy in the foxhole of fighting in this gospel of Jesus Christ. So maybe you would like to say hello, or
can I?
Okay. And I'm very blessed that I have such a helpmeet. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, as my husband said, we are very blessed to be here. And you know, years ago, there was a prophetic word that God gave me, and he said I would have many children. And it seems like as we travel all around, we meet so many, and it's just really a blessing for us. One little thought I would like to mention is Psalms 1. You know, we're in a time, I'm sure you see the news and all of the things that are happening, and God is looking for people that their heart is after him. And in Psalms 1, let me just read a couple of the first few verses. Blessed is the man, and that includes the ladies, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. You know, that is what God seems to be speaking to me. The need to focus on him, meditate on him, not allow this realm of the world to take from me what God wants. Do you know what I mean? Because see, we have our lives. I think many of you are in school, university, and there's the pressures of studying and doing the different things, but God is saying that we need to never forsake that he is number one in our lives. God bless you.
Amen. We have been coming to Africa for many years. We started out probably 40 years ago, going to Nigeria, and we went in and out of Nigeria. That's where we met Sister Biri, I believe, and going in and out of Africa for almost 17, 18 consecutive years. At the same time, I was employed, had a job to do, but my burden was not the job, my burden was the Word of God and sharing it with those in many different places. The job was a means to an end. It gave me the money I needed in order to travel. And basically, that's what we have devoted our lives to. Here recently, I came to the age of retirement. And so I retired, and then I went to work full time. So praise the Lord. Amen. So God has given us the strength to continue, and we are very thankful for that. We are very glad to be with you this morning, this afternoon. We already had a meeting this morning, so I'm shifting gears. And I'm very happy to be here, and I trust that what we have to share with you will bless you, encourage you, and challenge you, especially the challenge part. It's nice to be blessed, but it's also very nice to be challenged. not challenged in your natural environment or challenged in your thoughts and aspects of what your life is going to be, but challenged in the aspect of knowing God. One of the major indictments that is against the church in this hour is the indictment of not knowing God. Hallelujah. There are a couple of different places in the New Testament where there were people who thought they knew God, but it turns out that God didn't know them. And it wasn't dealing with the sinner out there per se, because one of the stories that is there, they said, well, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And did we not heal the sick? And did we not prophesy? All of those things are actions that you find in a church, not that you find out out there on the street. So if something was wrong with the environment of their church or the aspect of what they were involved in, and the indictment against them and the judgment, so to speak, was, I don't know you. So there is a position of intimate relationship that God is requiring of us as individuals. And let me tell you, it is a job. It's not a part-time thing. When we do things in the United States part-time, you got a job and you get another job, we call that moonlighting. You know, that's what we call it. And in some respects, Christianity is in some respects like moonlighting. We just add it to whatever it is we're involved in, and it becomes a part of our life. It becomes a part of our situation. It becomes a part of our being and who and what we are. But it is not the essential part. It's not the prerequisite. We are busy. You're all university students, and I'm very glad to hear that you're pursuing the excellence of education. But sometimes the excellence of education is a trap. It drags you into a hole that wants to suffocate you, and not only suffocate you, but kill your spiritual life. Hallelujah. And for us to have a relationship with a living God, we have to first of all know that He's living. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not something that we are believing because our mom and our dad believes it, or our brother or our sister, or because we're even involved in a Christian fellowship. That is not necessarily what brings the reality of God to you and to me. What brings the reality is if I am spending time with God, spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. My thoughts are working to think about the things of God. You know, I've been very blessed. I've been involved with the work and with a people where there has been many, many different types of words that people have given. We had many conferences. Oh, by the way, we have tapes. We did bring them, right? Okay, we have this. Last year we had several conferences in different places of the world, and I brought those discs that can be distributed. I don't have enough for one for everyone, but you can reproduce them and hand them out if you wish, whatever you like to do with them. Just if you're not going to use them, give them to somebody who will want to listen to them. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that we ask. So it is important. In fact, one of the prime directories, I guess it's a directory, that is given to us as Christians, is that we are to love the Lord our God with what? All of our heart, all of our minds, all of our soul. And if you go into the original context of the Scripture, if you go into the original language of the Scripture, it means that He is the center of your life. And out of it proceeds the issues of your life. Much like the heart that's in your bodies. If you don't have a heart, if the heart isn't working the way it should be, you're going to have a problem, aren't you? Some problem, and you may not know it's a heart condition necessarily, lack of energy or whatever it may be that is manifesting, but there is something wrong with the heart. And God is very jealous about your heart. Because if you understand the reality of what it means to be a Christian, if you understand that, not in the conceptual aspect of it, but in the aspect of the reality of what it means to you and what it means to God. And it's not so much what I think about it as far as God is concerned. Hello? You hear me? It's what God sees. And God sees everything, and we don't really think about it. We're over here doing something that isn't quite right and not in line with our theology or our Christianity, and you think nobody sees. But God sees. And it's not that God is passive, because He loves you. He loves you with a love that you can't even comprehend. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He does. He loves you so much and so that He will actually allow certain bad things to happen to you in order to get your attention. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I am a father. My wife and I have 7 children. The oldest of which is 46. Hallelujah. So I have had lots of experience in dealing with children. And you know, I love every one of them. I love every one of them. I would give my life for them. In fact, I think we have, and a number of times. Hallelujah. And but I understand the reality of what it is for them to know God. And I understand that sometimes there are tribulations that come around them and they get involved with because of circumstances I cannot deal with. You understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I have a God who loves them more than me, and I can turn them over to God. Now, we don't only have experience with 7 children, but we have 22 grandchildren. And the oldest of which is 22. Hallelujah. And the youngest is 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm very involved with them, by the way. Hallelujah. Because it says a man leaves an inheritance, not for his children, but for his grandchildren. Hallelujah. I don't know how that works, but I don't care how it works, because I'm involved with my grandchildren. I sometimes be able to take them with me when we go out on a mission somewhere and get them involved in the things of what we're doing and the structure, the infrastructure of what it is that we're involved in. Because I want them to have the opportunity to hear and to know God. And that is primary. And that is one of the objectives. We have to understand the economy of God. What is it that God wants? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's very important for us to understand God in that capacity. What is it that He wants? Well, the Bible is very clear about what God wants, because it tells us in the very first chapter of Genesis, hallelujah, verse 26, that God desired to make an entity, a personality, a functioning being. Hallelujah. And He had a peculiar thought in His mind that He wanted to make him just like Himself. Hallelujah. I suppose when you're testifying to somebody or you're talking to somebody, you might have the courage to tell them, well, I'm Christian. Do you have that courage? And how often in your conversation does God come up? You know, I had the privilege of traveling with a man for almost 35 years. He was the one who got me involved in the work of God, up until the time he passed in 2009. And I have never met another man like him. Everywhere he would go, everything he would do, anything that he was involved in, he would always bring the conversation around about God. Whether we were in a restaurant ordering food, the waitress would come or the waiter would come, and all of a sudden, he's talking to them about God. Hallelujah. Sometimes it was an embarrassment to me as a young man. I don't know if you've ever been into that position or not, but this man had the center focus of his life on one aspect of one thing, to know God. And he wanted everybody around him to know who God is. Hallelujah. Or at least to know that he knew God, and he was sharing them that they could know him like he knew him. Hallelujah. So it's a primary directive. to know God. And when God went to the problem, went to the trouble to tell us and to inform us that he was interested in one objective. It wasn't objective. The objective wasn't to create a mega church or just to create a brotherhood of Christianity. It was to create an individual, an individual that in the aspect of the plan of God would become a corporate manifestation. Now the Bible calls it body. Calls it the body of Christ. And we like to think that we are a part or in that position of being in that body of Christ. But if you're in the body of Christ, you could be Christian, but you're not necessarily in the body of Christ. Because the body works by one primary point of reference, the head. Hallelujah. Have you heard the word pattern son? Huh? Have you heard that terminology? Jesus Christ was the pattern son. Hallelujah. And it says that Jesus Christ was the first of what? Many brethren. So there is a position, there is a place, and there's a calling, I should say. There's an election for an individual who desires something more than just church aspect of relationship. Huh? That's Sunday morning, Sunday night, prayer meeting, Tuesday, Wednesday, helping here, helping there. All of that's well. All that's good. But it's not. It's just a means to an end. It's bringing you to a greater position, a greater place of awareness that this thing that you call God can be your personal friend. Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. We have the example in the Bible with Abraham. Don't you remember the story? Hallelujah. God was so interested in the friendship with Abraham that he came down, condescended, walked on the earth, and came to his house for lunch. Huh? When was the last time you had lunch with God? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When was the last time? Huh? And you know what? He wanted Abraham involved in his business. And he said to Abraham, and you, quite frankly, it's just as much a test for Abraham as anything. He says to Abraham, should I not tell my friend? How would you like God to speak to you that way? Huh? Hallelujah. It's possible. It's probable. Hallelujah. It would not be recorded. It would not be sanctioned in the Word as in that it has been preserved. Do you realize how much trouble this thing has had in being preserved? Do you understand the reality of this thing that you call the Bible? It's not written with ink on pages. It's written with blood. Hallelujah. Many of the saints, many of those who have gone before us, whose stories are in there, lived and died for the purpose of writing down the testimony of the position or the desire of God that he has concerning humanity. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have so much to make up for. We have such a distance to go. Hallelujah. In our thoughts, in our minds, in our aspects of what we believe. Do you know where the word Christian came from? It comes from a Greek word that means to be like Christ. Huh? I look in the mirror, I don't see Christ. Hallelujah. So every time I look in the mirror, I should be convicted. I should be convicted because I'm looking not at Christ, I'm looking at me. Hallelujah. I see me, I see all of the attributes of my faith, my being. I see the shortcomings, the maladies, the weaknesses. Every day of my life, they are being manifested in a mirror of some way or another. Hallelujah. And instead of brushing them off, instead of pushing them to the side or making an excuse for them, I need to repent. I need to get into a position with God and repent for my humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Or, brethren, you may not believe it, but God didn't intend for us to be human. Not at the end of the day. He intended for us to move from humanity into divinity. Isn't that why you got saved? Divinity is eternal life. That's divinity. And it's not a place, it's a state of being. You have eternity because you have a God. And in God is eternity. That's what the Bible says. All things were what? Made by Him. And without Him was not anything made. So everything that He made has an eternal purpose, an eternal place of existence, eternal means of working and manifesting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God desired to have this position, this place of fellowship with man. One of the important points in the first couple of books of the Bible is that when He created Adam, oh my, He created Adam in such a marvelous, peculiar way. Nothing compares, nothing that he created prior to Adam compares with what Adam and how Adam was made. Adam had a special destiny when he was created. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, you know, it doesn't tell us in the Bible. It doesn't show us. It doesn't explain to us how He created the whales, how He created the fish, how He created the birds, how He created the creeping things, how He created the rocks, the trees. We are not told how He did that. But He goes into explicit detail to tell us how He created Adam. Why? Because Adam was special. Adam was the genesis of the aspect of the idea of God in humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he wasn't looking at Adam. Think about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have a God, and you call Him, it's a God that has no beginning and no end. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Who's Alpha? Who is Alpha? Huh? Who is Alpha? He's God. But wait a minute. That can be confusing, can't it? I'm telling you, He has no beginning. And yet, you call Him Alpha. Do you know what Alpha means? It means beginning. Huh? So what is the mystery there? What is tied up in all of that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me just put it here. Sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. That is what my mother used to say to me all the time. Hallelujah. So you have a God. You have a God who has no beginning. Huh? No beginning. And He goes to no end. He's eternal. This is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a state of existence. It's a state of being. We have to get the idea of God and a place out of our minds and get the idea of God as an entity, as a personality, the magnitude of which we have no comprehension. But nevertheless, we have an opportunity to come into a position or a place of knowing who He is. Hallelujah. You know that it says in the last days, the mystery of God is going to be revealed. Huh? Wouldn't you like to be in on that mystery? Wouldn't you like to know the reality of that position of existence? Hallelujah. So we have no beginning, no end, but then in the midst of it, he labels himself with the word Alpha. A-L-P-H. Huh? Right? Alpha. Don't look at my writing. It's all kind of messed up. It's a beginning. The beginning of what? What is it the beginning of? Well, what does your Bible tell you? Huh? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Huh? Now, God does not need time. Hello?
Yeah.
So, why did God create time? He had a specific reason. Do you understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Recently, I'm kind of diverting you. I kind of jump. You have to follow me. That means you have to stay awake. Hallelujah. Recently, I have a friend. He's a very young man. I think he's older. He's in his 30s, I think. He's very intelligent, more intelligent than I am. And I often will talk with him. And by the way, he's in Nigeria. And I often talk with him about these spiritual things. And I asked him once, I said, what exactly is your job? And he says, engineering. And I'm thinking, well, okay, he's an engineer. But I said, okay, what kind of engineering do you do? Hallelujah. And he told me an engineering field that I did not know existed. He says, we are involved in conceptual engineering. Have you ever heard the term before? Oh, yeah, you're a university student. You never heard the term? Hallelujah. It's where you sit around and you think about things. And they put you into a room with each other, and all you do is sit around a table and throw out these ideas about a certain thought, about a certain thing, and see if you can come up with something which can be developed. Hello? Well, you can look at God in that respect. What he was doing in some means, some manner, was conceptual engineering. He was thinking about a product. He was thinking about how to make that product. And it says in one of those verses there in Genesis, let's see, one of those verses there in Genesis, Genesis 1, I'm just going to look at it quickly here. In verse 26, I believe it is, it says there, and God said, let us. Now, that's the first time in the scripture that God calls himself us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there was more than God involved in it. But we know that God is a Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there was something of a council they must have been holding in heaven concerning this next thing that he wanted to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the previous verses, it just says, God said. The word God is Elohim. And Elohim is the plurality of God. So he's always referring to himself in the plurality. You understand? Verse 1 up to verse 25. Hallelujah. Well, you say, well, how significant is that? It's very significant. Because he's individually referring to himself in a terminology, hallelujah, that is undivided or unidentified, that is not specific. But in verse 26, he says, let us, and God, and Elohim said, let us. Hallelujah. Like there was in some manner or fashion, a division or separation of the Trinity in the aspect of what it was they were going to do, each of them, in the manner and bring forth the revelation of man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have God who is in the thinking business. Can I put it that way? He has the concept in his mind. He has the actuality of it all worked out in his mind. Now he's got to bring it into a visual form. Huh? Hallelujah. This morning we were talking a little bit about this, and I'm confessing to you, how do I relate to something that is called Elohim? How do I relate to God? God is a spirit. How do I describe him? How do I define him as a personality? Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I can relate to a man. And there's where God the Son comes in, because his part of the bargain was that he would take it upon himself. He would divest himself from his godness. Hallelujah. And submit his the entity of his life to humanity. Hallelujah. Because God needed a prototype. You know what a prototype is, right? You want to build a car? You put all the bells and whistles in it, you put the motors in it, and you do all the drivetrain and all of the things that you think are going to appeal to people, and then you put it out there on the test track. And you just drive it and run it through every kind of thought and thing that you can think of that would punish it to the limit so you would know what needed to be fixed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank well, in some manner, some fashion, that is a little of what was going on when Jesus took the position or the second part of the Godhead, God the Son, took it upon himself to be that prototype. Hello?
No.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, and when it says, in the beginning, it was the Alpha was the beginning process of making man like God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you also call him Omega. So here in eternity, you've got this little bleep of time. God created time, brethren, not so that you could be born and live and die. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He made time for a specific reason. And he has been building, excuse me, he has been building this prototype for at least 6,000 to 7,000 years, working on it. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the creation in 7-day terminology. Well, the Bible also says that one day is as what? 1,000 years with to God. So in my thinking, it seems that in the time frame that God has given us is about 7,000 years to come to a position or a place where that final product will be manifested. Hello? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So time, this is Omega. Omega means the end. And that terminology is used in different situations in the Bible, as in the day of Noah, when he says the end of all flesh has come before me. Hallelujah. And brethren, don't tell me it is impossible for human beings to be and come to a state of perfection, because that's what we're talking about. One of the scriptures, now we want to make excuses of why we can't be perfect. That's what we do. We want to make excuses because we can't. Well, I'm just human. I'm just this. You know, I do make mistakes. Well, yes, I do, but that doesn't excuse them. I can be just as human as anybody, but that doesn't excuse me in the aspect of how God looks at it. Because there is in his mind something that God wants to achieve. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question. If you you have a job that you want somebody to do, and you're going to pay them a certain amount of money to do that job, and you give them 7 days to do it. First day goes by. Let's make it like a pile of rocks, okay? You're going to move the pile of rocks from here to over there. First day he moves to, you move two rocks. No, the person moves two rocks. The second day he moves maybe three or four rocks. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and sixth day, he's got all the rocks removed except for maybe two rows of the rocks. Are you going to pay him what you agreed to pay him? Why? Why wouldn't you pay him? I know you won't pay him. I know you won't pay him, but why would you not pay him? Because he did not do the job, and you had an agreement with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You had an agreement with him. Well, when you get saved, when you get born again, and you get baptized on the basis of that experience, you are making a contractual arrangement with God. Romans, the 6th chapter. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
What does it say? If I am buried with him in baptism, how am I buried? What am I buried to? And what is my experience in that burying? I am buried with him in death. Hello?
Amen.
I must, there is an aspect of death working in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That it will produce and create the opportunity for me to be resurrected.
Amen.
Not at the end of the day down the road, but as I overcome that situation or that circumstance in my soul, I put it down and I am being lifted up in a resurrectual spirit. Hello?
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I came to the Lord, I was a very bad boy. Hallelujah. I was a very bad boy. I had come from a family of alcoholics, by the way. My father was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My older brother was an alcoholic. And I was becoming an alcoholic. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God in his mercy reached down into that pit of despair and he redeemed me.
Amen.
But I got saved, but I still had a problem. Not only was I an alcoholic, but I was a very heavy smoker. About 2.5 packs a day of cigarettes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Smoking, drinking. Hallelujah. Having fun. And going to hell. I was on a, I don't know if you understand the expression, but I was on a greased rail. Sliding into hell and having a good time. Hallelujah. But when I met God and God touched my heart, he broke the power of the alcohol that was over me. He broke the power of the nicotine. It's a spirit, don't you understand? That is working in my life, my family's life. Hallelujah. And it will work in my children's lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if it weren't for just my sake, I should at least be concerned for their sake. Hallelujah. But we often are not, and that's how callous we can be. Because we think we have certain inalienable rights. We have certain positions of right and liberty. Hallelujah. That's what we think. Hallelujah. Let somebody crowd your space just a little bit. Hallelujah. A personality that kind of rubs you the wrong way. Let them crowd you just a little bit, and you'll find out how many rights you have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, but when God delivered me, he delivered me. He broke that spirit. But that spirit was still in my family. My father was 60 years old, 65 years old at that time. He had drank himself into a business. Now, my father, though he was a drinker and a drunkard, was a very successful businessman. Put that two together. Hallelujah. But he had drank so much, it had eaten the lining of his intestines. That wall that keeps fluid into your body and fluid out of your body. Hallelujah. And it was so bad that he began to bleed internally. And one time, by the mercy of God, they were able to get him into the hospital and save him. 3 times he did that. Every time he came out, I'm going to stop drinking. Hallelujah. He couldn't stop. Under the power of that spirit. But, you know, as time went on and as my concern with about him grew and I was growing in the Lord, and as I was fighting that spirit and overcoming it and breaking the power of it, and one day I broke it. And you know how I knew I broke it? My father, who could not stop drinking, stopped drinking immediately. And I didn't say anything to him. My brother, who had been drinking, stopped drinking immediately. Hallelujah. And I didn't say anything about it. Hello. Hallelujah. And I knew it was by the power. God was demonstrating something in my life as to my position of personal relationship and how it will affect the environment in which I am living. And especially my family.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God got together with the other parts of the Godhead, and they discussed and they determined that they were going to create this entity that was going to be called man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know, man has a particular destiny. Do you know what your destiny is as a Christian? Heaven? Golden streets? Mansions to live in? What would you need a mansion for? Huh? Mansions are something you want in this realm. Huh? Hallelujah. Why wouldn't I want something far beyond that? Why wouldn't I want something so more magnificent, so much more awesome than just a mansion? Hallelujah. Mansions deteriorate. They fall down. They are deserted. They become the habitation of everything that is unclean. Hello?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God has something greater for you. God has something you can't even imagine. It says it has not entered into the mind of man what it is that God has prepared for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is the goal. That is the position. But what is that goal? How do you describe it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, if you know your Bible, you know that in Romans, the eighth chapter, it talks about a thing called the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
And it's not talking about it in an ethereal realm. You know what I mean by ethereal? Imaginary thought, some thought concept. Because it says that the whole creation, what? Groaneth. Hallelujah. And travaileth even what? Until now. For what are they working for? They want to be loosed from the bondage of corruption that is upon them. The spirit of death. It come up, it exists, and then it dies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's not a ethereal thing. It's not somewhere out there in some mystical realm. It's talking about the elements of the environment in which you live. Hallelujah.
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 So it's not what it's talking about is you in that position or that place of relationship growing and becoming coming into a maturity of being as what the Bible calls a son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is something in the mind of God, not only as sons, and not only is the manifestation, the creation working for that manifestation, but he also says there in the eighth chapter, let's go back over there, Romans, the eighth chapter, he says something when he's talking about sonship, huh? Hallelujah. Romans, the 8th chapter. It says with the 19th, for the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. That means death. That means desolation. That means the dissolving of things. The decomposing of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to go back up now, up a couple of verses. It says, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Hallelujah. And the terminology in the context of the scripture means you do not have that position of eternal joy with the hope of resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, if you live in the flesh. Now, Paul is not writing to sinners. Paul is writing to churches. He's writing to the people in the churches, and he's telling them there's a higher position of learning. There's a higher position of existence, and it's your responsibility to obtain it. Huh? I suppose you really have to work hard for that degree, don't you? Huh? Hard. You sacrifice, do you? You sacrifice time, energy. Somebody's sacrificing the money. I don't know who, but somebody is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what are they getting for it? What do you get? You get a little piece of paper that says so-and-so and so did so-and-so and so, and now you have this so-and-so after your name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the value of it is temporal. How long do you think that value will last in your present situation? 70 years? 70 years? Do you know what's going to happen in 70 years? Huh? Do you control your electricity? No, I know you don't. Huh? Do you control your water? Huh? So if you can't control your electricity, you can't control your water, how do you expect to control your destiny? And right now in the world, in Africa, there are factions working against your position of Christianity. And they are not passive. They are not passive. They are belligerent and they are militant. And they are without mercy. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You could go get up in the morning and your whole environment can be changed. You have no control of what comes to pass after today. The only thing that you can control, that I can control, is right now. And the decisions that I make concerning the Word of God and my position or place of responsibility. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you're too young to think about dying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I was in Nigeria several years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. And there was a word that came to the congregation that I was in. And the word was that God was allowing rebellion and civil war to rise up in Nigeria to punish the church for their lack of diligence, for their lack of consecration. Hallelujah. And then they started killing Christians up north. Hello? Hallelujah. And then there was one school there, you probably heard about it, one school there where this element came in and kidnapped the whole school of ladies. 300 of them, wasn't it? Huh? 200? It was over 200. Now, I want you to think about that a moment. Those parents, what do you think? They had an investment in those girls. They had an investment. Some of you have parents who have investments in you. Hallelujah. What would they think? What would they feel? How would they be if tomorrow you had just vanished? Hallelujah. There were some students in Norway. Young people. I don't know if they were students or not. Young people in Norway. And they had come together for a seminar. And it wasn't even necessarily a Christian event. And somebody got up with a submachine gun and mowed them all down. 70 of them. Huh? What about the investment? How do you think the parents felt? They didn't have tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tomorrow is not a thing that we can think about in the aspect of natural, because we can't control it. The only thing I can control, the only thing that I can be sure of, is the position and the place of my relationship with God at this given moment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I ask you, how do you know that you would have the courage not to deny Christ if somebody had an AK-47 pointed right between your eyes and ready to pull the trigger? And you knew that he was going to pull the trigger regardless of what you thought. Would you deny Christ? Well, we say, I hope not.
Yeah, sure.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God can say, I never leave you or forsake you, but I don't know that I can say, oh God, I won't ever leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? Because the only way that I can accomplish what needs to be done is I love God more than my own life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The will of God for my life, whether it's school or whatever it may be. And if what I'm involved in is not the will of God, then I need to do something about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, we are living in a very critical time in history. Never before has the masses of civilization been threatened as it is being threatened now. I was in Ethiopia in 2012. Hallelujah. And this ISIS group was not even known at that time. At least it wasn't public knowledge. Huh? And that little bitty country there, down below Egypt. Tunisia? Tanzania? What is it? It starts with a T. Huh? I think it's Tunisia. It's right there below Egypt, down there in the bottom there. That's where it all started. The spark that lit the tinder. It went from Tunisia to Egypt to Liberia and spread into Syria. And when it started, the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's a tsunami wave of violence and hatred that is going to sweep across northern Africa. Hallelujah. And I have it on tape. I was talking about it. I was telling people about it. It's on tape. It's verified. It's not something I made up after the fact. And the Lord told me at that time, 2012, brother, He said it's going to jump from northern Africa into Europe. What do you see now? A tsunami wave of humanity invading Europe.
Amen.
Do you think that's not without consequence? And brethren, they're not refugees. Some of them, not many of them, they're all young men. If you watch the news, if you keep on top of it, they're all young men. They're not families. You just see the families on the news. You see the families in the paper. Hallelujah. What do you think is going to happen? You know what Gaddafi said back there in 2009, I think it was? He says, Europe will be a caliph in 10 years. And we won't even have had to fire a shot. We see it happening. You see it happening. It's in the news. I don't have to prophesy to you. I don't have to predict it. You see it. You see it. You see it. You read about it. When you read about it, what do you think? Hallelujah. You know, we've been in Ethiopia for quite a while. And we had many chances to go to the universities. Hallelujah. And that was in 2012. And when we went, the Lord showed me that trouble was coming to Ethiopia. And I began to tell these students, many of the university students, you are headed for trouble. And the only position, the place that is going to be a place of safety is in a personal, viable relationship with God and walking in accordance to that plan that He has for your life. Hallelujah. We almost canceled the trip to Ethiopia this year because of the trouble that started in the universities. Isn't that strange? It's supposed to be a higher place of learning, right? But the trouble always starts in the universities. The intellectualism of man and the position and the place of the desire to be preeminent. And if that isn't enough, brethren, you have the tribal aspect you have to deal with. This land that you are in now, that I'm in now, hallelujah, was genocidal. There was tribal conflicts. They were trying to wipe out that other tribe here, that other tribe there, and that tribe be put into the position of the place of power. Hallelujah. And Christians were involved in it. Hallelujah. So what will your play be? What will your point be? Where will you be at that time? You're not born of natural blood. You're not born of the natural will of man. You were born after the will of God. And you have been born for a particular reason. You've been born for a particular purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we as humanity need to wake up from our slumber of humanity and shake ourselves from our humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And get down to business with God and find out what it is that God wants. Hallelujah. Turn with me. Hallelujah. To Jeremiah. Hallelujah. I want to go into Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because it outlines the plans, the purposes. It outlines the thought of God and what His intent is. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 31. Behold the day. This is chapter 31, verse 31 of Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Hallelujah. The terminology is critical, brethren. Do you hear me? Why would he not just say all of Israel? Why would he say the house of Israel and the house of Judah? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the scepter of authority passed from the Levitical priesthood unto the Judah, tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And when they brought David in of the tribe of Judah, he mixed the kingdom with the position of worship and reverence of God. Hallelujah. Do you know David was the only one who could go in to the Ark of the Covenant, and he wasn't of the Levitical nature? He wasn't of the Levitical tribe? Huh? Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
And so in God's mind, there is two designated aspects of the church. There's a general populace of the church that he calls Israel, and you can be a part of that if you wish. But there's a part of the church he calls Judah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says of the Lord, he came out of the tribe of Judah. So when I am born again, spiritually speaking, I come out of whatever natural affiliation I have with regards to my tribal affiliation, and I am adopted into that position of that tribe in all that it means, spiritually speaking. Huh? You remember what David? David was the one who solidified and brought the kingdom of Israel to a place of preeminence and predominance. They were ruling the whole area of the geographical location in which they existed. There was an authority that was given to David. Hallelujah. And it was Solomon, the son of David. Hallelujah. That built the tabernacle. The thing that is called Moses' tabernacle, he built it, only he magnified it and multiplied it to show us the reality of the multiplication of God in our position, our place of worship and reverence and of knowing Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we have this position, we have this place. And it says, behold, the days come. When is that day? When is that? When was that experience? That coming that he was talking about? Huh? That coming was the advent of Jesus Christ when he came into the world. The coming of Jesus changed the whole economics of religion. Hallelujah. And brethren, it wasn't the world that persecuted him. It wasn't the world that brought accusation against him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It wasn't the world. It was the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It was the church. And the same aspect, the same thing that happened then is happening now all over the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But when God Christ came, when Jesus came, when he died, when he was buried, when he resurrected, it changed the economics of religion. Totally, absolutely, forever. Hallelujah. And it's not as though he wiped out the Old Testament. He said to John, let the law be fulfilled. And he went down into the water. Hallelujah. In baptism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can't throw out your foundation. And if you don't know the reality of your foundation as far as the Old Testament is concerned, you need to get involved with God to find the revelation of it. I was a builder for over 20 years. Hello? I know how to build a building. I did commercial work. I did residential work. Everything depends on that foundation. Hallelujah. Anything that's wrong with the building that shows up cracked walls and cracked cement is indicative of the foundation. Something's wrong with the foundation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, behold, the days come when the Lord I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to turn just for a moment over into 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. The 6th chapter. Hallelujah. Because we're talking about the breaking of the covenant, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's admonishing the Corinthian church, and he's reprimanding them for their laxivity and their tolerance to sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says down here in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, I want to define that a little bit, if I may. Hallelujah. If there is a standard that is set, hallelujah, and that standard that is set is critical to your position of achievement. Huh? Let's say you fulfill some of the things that are necessary. Now, I don't know how it is in university. I never got there. Hallelujah. I was too busy raising a family. Hallelujah. But I suppose you do have homework, right? Do you have homework? Huh? And sometimes they really pile it on, right? Okay, and let's say you have an essay to write or something, you have to do the research and all of that, and it comes down to the day, the essay, and you only have the essay 3/4 done. Now, when you turn the essay in, does it have to be in a proper format, in a proper way? Can it be handwritten? It can be handwritten. All right. So, but it's in a proper format, in a proper way, because your professor, he has to be able to read it, right? What if you don't have it done? Is there a retribution? You lose marks? And what do those marks mean? What do they mean? You failed. You failed. You don't get the prize. You don't receive the goods for getting to the goal. Hallelujah. 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 So if that is true in the natural, how much more does God move in accordance to our position of relationship and what we are doing according to His desires? You want to be like Christ? You know, Christ never made a decision on His own. You know, Christ never said a word that He didn't hear the Father saying. You know, if we had that in place, we would do a whole lot less talking. Huh? He didn't go anywhere that He wasn't directed to go by the Father. Hallelujah. How many of you are being regulated in such a manner, in such a fashion? Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, on a car, hallelujah, on a car there is this thing called a regulator. And it's an electrical device. Well, I don't know on the new ones. They all computerized now. But on the old ones, which I'm familiar with, this regulator regulated the amount of voltage that would be going into the battery so that your battery wouldn't blow up. Hello? Hallelujah. If it had too much, it would cut it down. If it didn't have too much, it would open it up wide. Hello? Hallelujah. But the battery was fully charged by virtue of the regulator. Hallelujah. And God, Jesus was regulated by God, not only in charge, but in the aspect of everything He did concerning His life. You can have social Christianity if you want. It's your choice. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe me and what I am saying, that's your choice. Hallelujah. I may never see you again. Hello. Hallelujah. You know, I changed my itinerary to come here. Did you know that? I had an itinerary all laid out. I was supposed to be somewhere else. I was supposed to be down there in Ethiopia. And well, I'm here. Hello. Hallelujah. But when Sister Beery called me or sent me a little email and says, you need to pray about your itinerary, I did. And I changed it. Hallelujah. I changed it. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know there were students going to be addressing students. I just knew there were some people who I was going to be talking to. I may never come back. I may never may not be able to come back. I may not live long enough to come back. Hello? But I'm here for a specific reason, a specific purpose, because God ordained the time. Whether you believe it or not is no skin off my nose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God has given you an opportunity. God wants to open up the revelation of his position of personal relationship with you individually. Hallelujah. But you have to have the want to. Huh? This is I don't believe in the church that forces and coerces or even begs you to be a Christian. It's your choice. Hallelujah. It doesn't work. You know, I have children, and I had certain expectations for those children. And I did everything in my power to prepare them for my expectations. You know, I found out they didn't want to do what I wanted them to do. They didn't want to be what I wanted them to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, I learned, well, that's not so important. I'm a carpenter. I'm a contractor. I was a farmer also. We had an agricultural retail business, Fresh Market Food. We had about 50 acres of ground that we were doing, and we were selling it at the farmers markets, as well as doing contracting on all of those different things. Hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I'm not somebody who's just been standing up here on the stage behind a pulpit all of my life. Hallelujah. In fact, I don't like stages. They're too high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, quite really, you need a longer cord because I like to walk and talk. Hallelujah. That's all right. It's not a problem now. Hallelujah. So we have the right to make a decision. God is not going to force anybody into a mold that somebody does not want to be put into. Hallelujah. But your decisions have consequences. And you don't know what those consequences are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't know what those consequences are. All right, where are we? Jeremiah.
Second Corinthians.
Second Corinthians, yes. I want to go back to Second Corinthians. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Yeah, the wind blew it. Second Corinthians. 6:14. And we are reading that in conjunction with Jeremiah. All right. Second Corinthians 6. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Oh, my goodness. You know, I can't get past it. I keep coming back to it, don't I? Hallelujah. Okay, let's say I'm in church. I'm in church, and my church doesn't believe that I can be a son of God. What am I going to do? Am I going to sit in the midst of a bunch of unbelievers who don't believe in the fullness or the reality of God in a manifestation in humanity? If I sit there, I'm going to spoil. I'm going to lose vision. I'm going to lose hope. And my focus will begin to be on the world out and around me. Better house, better car, better clothes, more education. Hallelujah. So it's not just talking about those people out there who are sinners. It's talking about those people who are in the midst of a congregation. And if you want to know whether they believe what you believe, stop talking to them about perfection. Tell them, I believe we can be perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. And see what happens. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you do it long enough and hard enough, you'll be marked as a troublemaker. Hallelujah. And brother, you think, or maybe you don't think, but you think, the church thinks they are perfect when they go to heaven. It's not scriptural. Do you hear me? Hebrews 11. It's not scriptural. The 30 or the 31st verse. He says, they. Who's the they? Those who have gone on cannot be made perfect without you. That's what it says. Turn to it. Read it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews 11th chapter. It talks about those heroes of faith. And read the list of the heroes. What did they did? Have you and I accomplished any of those things? Have you and I been in the similar sets of circumstances as they were in? Rend and torn, eaten by beasts, no place to lay their head. Do you got a place to lay your head? Do you got a roof over your head? I don't know, do you? Some people don't. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We take so much for granted. Hello? It's by grace that God has given you the opportunity to be where you're at and to do the thing you do so you could hear what I'm telling you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brethren, I'm not trying to build a church. Hallelujah. The last thing I want is the responsibility of a church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want to see people grow in God. I want to see children become adults in the aspect of God and have that position of personal relationship. What does your Bible say about Hebrews 11? It's 40?
Yeah.
It's the second or the third last verse. Okay, I want to read mine. It says, in these all, that's all that he is talking about in Hebrews 11. These all, having attained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. They didn't get it. They made a good showing. They did a good job. Like Paul, he says, I have run my race. I finished my course. Hey, tell me. If somebody came to you and says you're going to die tomorrow, what would you do? Well, I tell you what I would probably do. I'd probably be like Hezekiah and I'd get down and start groveling and pleading God not to kill me. Of course, you'd probably do better, right? Hallelujah. I don't know. Hallelujah. We find out we like life. When I was a young man, probably about your age, how old are you? Generally speaking, 23, 24, in that area. When I was a young man your age, I had this word, I had this message, I was hearing it, I wanted it, and I was professing it and preaching it and testifying to it everywhere I went, when I was working, when I wasn't working, when I was doing whatever, traveling, going around different places, professing this word. Huh? Oh yes, I'm a son of God, I'm going to conquer the world, I'm going to rule and reign with Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. And one day I was driving home and I drove into my driveway and I had this really, really sharp pain. You know, it started somewhere in my chest and it worked its way up and it went down one of my arms, but it went down the arm that they say you have the pain in when you have a heart attack. Or maybe it went down the other arm and I just wasn't educated enough to know the difference. Because I thought I was dying. Huh? I thought I was dying. Hello? And I found out something. I didn't really believe what I was preaching. I'm saying to God, God, you can't kill me. You can't take my life, God. I said, I've got people who need me. I got children I got to raise. Who's going to raise my children, God? Hallelujah. Well, thank God it wasn't a heart attack. It was just a collapsed lung. Hallelujah. But I learned something. I had to repent for my unbelief. I said, no, man, I got to do something about this. I have to get a greater reality. I got to get a greater hold on God. I want to be something like Paul, who had the idea and the knowledge that he was not going to be delivered from this time of execution. Hello, he knew it. Don't you know that? Many times he had faced death when he was in the sea and when he was bit by that snake and when they lashed him on the back with the 39 stripes, save one, three times. And he knew he wasn't finished. Hallelujah. He knew he would get up and he would go on. But there came a time when he knew he was not going to be delivered. Hello? And he wrote his epitaph. Yeah, you write your own epitaph, right? He says, I've run my race. I can't say that. No matter how old I get. Not yet, anyway. I've run my race. I finished my course. Hallelujah. You know how come he could say that? Because he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He was in a different dispensation. He was in a different realm of experience in life. This thing meant of no value to him any longer. And he saw in a vision, he saw in an experience. I think God brought him up into the realm of the heavenlies and showed him. And it wasn't natural things like a natural crown. You're talking about a position of authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says, I've run my race. I've finished my course. Hallelujah. I have laid up for me what? A crown in heaven. An incorruptible. Can you say that? Huh? Can you say that with such boldness and authority and assurity? Huh? If you can't, then you need to repent and get into a position to where God can talk to you as a son. Talk to you, not like in similitudes and parables, but talk to you mouth to mouth, like he talked to Moses. Hallelujah. He says, Moses is not like the rest of you guys. Hallelujah. Moses is not like the rest of you guys at all. Moses, I don't talk to in similitudes. I don't talk to him in parabolic form. I talk to him face to face. I talk to him mouth to mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! When he created Adam, it says that God would come down in the cool of the evening and he would walk and talk with Adam. What do you think you're talking about? What do you think you're talking about? Well, as a father, I can tell you some of what I think they're talking about. He was talking about the father's aspirations, his desire for him as a son. Hallelujah. He's probably giving him some lessons in godness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What it's like to be God. What is to expect. Trying to whet Adam's appetite for the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And do you know that Adam lived up to 3/4 of Enoch's life? Did you know that? The timeline? 3/4. What do you think Adam was talking to Enoch about? What do you think he was talking? I didn't know what he was talking about. He was talking about the Father's business. He was talking about the Father's business. How do I know that? Because I have sons. Hallelujah. And I talk to them about not my business, the Father's business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So there's a position, there's a place of relationship that God wants to bring to us. So does your Bible say that they without us cannot be made perfect? Huh? Does your Bible say that? Does it say it?
Verse 40.
Chapter 11, verse 40. What does it say? Does it say that they without him, without us? Does it use in your language, does it use the word perfect?
Yeah.
Huh? Does it mean perfect?
Yeah.
Is that French or is that some other language? Huh? Swahili. Huh? What is it? Okay, so is that what your Bible is written in? And what does it say? Perfect? So what does it mean? What does perfect mean? Well, perfect means perfect, you're right. No spot, no blemish, no position or place of mistake being made. Hallelujah. Do you know that the Bible calls Noah perfect in his generation? If you don't know that, read the story of Noah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Noah was called in the time of tribulation when God was moving to eradicate humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are living in such a time of eradication. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is looking for some Noahs. God is looking for some Noahs. And it's not gender. It's not gender orientated. Because in the spirit there is neither male nor female. Hallelujah. There's no competitive spirit between man and woman in the spirit. Hallelujah. 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 So let me turn back over here to Corinthians. I think I'm running out of time. I don't have a watch, so somebody just has to pull on my shirt tail when it's time for me to sit down. Hallelujah. Yes. It says, let's go back over 40. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Oh my goodness, I'm not going to go into that today. You should have been in the morning's meeting. Hallelujah. And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath the believer, he that believeth, with an infidel? Hallelujah. And what agreement hath the temple of God? Where is the temple of God? What is the temple of God? It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. Yes, it's you. God wants to tabernacle in you. That's the terminology that the Bible used. Tabernacle. We have an illustration that we call the tabernacle. Hallelujah. I so much love this drawing. I so much involved with this drawing because it's a living word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there, I have been under the teaching of tabernacle for almost 45 years. And every time there is something that God renews, shows, and brings out in the aspect of that tabernacle. Huh? Hallelujah. And I just learned something the other day. And I was in Ethiopia and I was teaching some ladies and a few of their husbands. They could not read. How do you evangelize a person who cannot read? You say, read your Bible. Hallelujah. But I can draw them a picture. Hallelujah. That has the entirety of God wrapped up in it. Hallelujah. The entirety of God is wrapped up in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's three compartments. There's the outer court. Hallelujah. There's the outer court. There's a holy place. Hallelujah. There is the Holy of Holies. Three, the number of completion, the number of a complete entity of a thing. God is three persons, but He's one. He's the totality of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we have this picture of God, and it involves Him in the aspect of God tabernacling with man. Hallelujah. You start your journey out here at the brazen altar, which is the cross of Christ. You go to the brazen laver, which is in baptism. Hallelujah. And you come to the holy place. You have the lampstand. Hallelujah. You have the lampstand, which is indicative of union with Christ. You have the table of showbread, which is indicative of feeding on Christ individually and collectively. Hallelujah. And then you have the altar of incense. Hallelujah. The golden altar of incense, where you are now sanctified. You are now ready. You are now preserved. Cleaned and brought to a place by which you might offer your soul. Huh? Why? Because you want union with Christ, which is representative of the ark and the mercy seat. That's two pieces of furniture. Seven pieces of furniture. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Seven steps, seven aspects, seven positions of development that God has bringing you to a place to where He can now inhabit you in the fullness. Hallelujah. For it says, I want to write my laws, Jeremiah 31. I want to, hallelujah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Hallelujah. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Brethren, God has always been a God to a people, but God yet has to have a collective people that claim Him as a God. Totally, absolutely, without reservations. Without stipulations. Hallelujah. So it comes right down to what we were saying earlier concerning personal relationship. It's your decision to make. It's your decision to make. And you are the one who's going to have the consequence. Either the good or the bad. It's your decision to make. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.